Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 4th and Goal podcast, WVUA 90.7, the Capstones podcast for all things college football. I'm your host, Caden Johnson, joined by my co-hosts, Braden Freeman and Nicholas Elliott. We're going to dive right into the Week 8 recap today, starting off with Bama and Ole Miss, or sorry, Miss State. Bama gets a bounce back dominant win. Guys, what'd you like from Bama Saturday?
I liked that we finally played a relatively clean game. The penalties were very limited. Our secondary looked really good. Obviously, that addition to Eli Ricks, he played very good. I think only 19 or 20 yards allowed the whole game. Even with Mike Leach being very aggressive against Alabama, going for it on fourth down, almost every chance he had, our defense was still able to stop him. And their only points they scored with 5 seconds left in the game, which really are kind of, they didn't matter at all to the end of the game. The offense looked a little shaky, though. Still, the play calling is questionable, but Bryce has been able to, as we saw, he was able to scramble out of the pocket and kind of direct traffic for a couple pretty good plays. Gibbs still looking pretty good, so all that's looked good. Will Reichard's back on track. Things it's a bounce back, bye week, everyone's going to recover. Bryce's shoulder's going to get a little better, and then we'll be ready for LSU.
Yeah, I thought it was a clean game from Alabama. I mean, they didn't put their best performance in, I thought, but their defense looked very good. The pass rush, I mean, injury depleted up front. Hopefully they can get back to feeling better next week, get back healthy. But I think Bryce played really good. Just the second half just was a little quiet. Didn't have much time to throw. O-line did not really block well for him. We had what was like 30 rushing yards on him too. Was not very good.
Yeah, ground game at all. Not a lot at all.
But it was did enough to win. Yeah. It's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly what Nick said. Good enough to win, and win big too at that. Mississippi State actually outgained us that game, which is crazy. I mean, 293 total yards to our 290, so that was pretty close. One thing I will say that I didn't like from the defense, even though they had a pretty great game, not giving up but 6 points, and it was on the last play of the game. The fourth down defense was a little shaky. I thought there was a lot of times where Mississippi State had very predictable play calling, and we just let it happen. It was a lot of, like, runs up the middle on third and short or fourth and short, and they were, like, guaranteed, like, 5 yards whenever they would do that. Like y'all touched on, the play calling could be a lot better. Bryce Young looks great, and it's just, it felt like we didn't really utilize just how good Bryce Young is a lot enough in the second half. Ja'Cory Brooks finally had a really good game, first great game I think he's had since Vanderbilt, maybe.
Yeah.
It was nice to see JoJo Earl get involved too, and, you know, we can talk about how crazy that play was that Bryce made. That's pretty much all Bryce Young, just being Bryce Young. I would like Bama to just focus on getting healthy during the bye. Focus on getting healthy. Focus on getting Eli Ricks some more first-team reps. What'd you like from Eli Ricks Saturday?
I mean, he was locked down. I mean, 7 pass breakups. I mean, probably should have almost had an interception. I mean, that was probably the best game he's had so far. I mean, even better than when he was playing at LSU, I thought.
Yeah, and even just like he played clean and he played with energy. It just seemed like the rest of the secondary played a lot better just with him out there. Maybe just the fact of that just being that their best receivers were locked up by him. But he brought energy out to the field, which is a lot of it, as half the game.
Yeah, being able to put him and Kool-Aid on islands and the safeties, I mean, they can help up with the on the slot. I mean, don't have to worry about too much about the secondary right now. Yeah. Good bounce back from the Tennessee game.
Yeah, absolutely crazy that Will Rogers threw 60 passes in that game. He went 30 for 60, which that's unheard of. 60 passes in a game for any QB is wild.
Especially
at any level.
Only completing 30.
Yeah, and then to top that off, 60 pass attempts for a total of 230 yards. That is also insane. And I think that can largely be credited to the secondary and how much improved they were. It's not hard to be much better than they were against Tennessee, but they definitely did show a lot of signs of improvement. And a lot of that can be thank you to Eli Ricks for stepping in. Moving on to probably one of the most exciting games of the day. This was a crazy one. Syracuse and Clemson. Clemson was able to come out with the win thanks to putting in Klubnik. I don't know. I was really high on DJ, or I was starting to get higher on DJ. He had started to elevate his play a lot, but the turnovers for Clemson were awful. It is an absolute blessing that they did not lose this game. This one was just set up for them to lose. This was a team that's one of the best in the country as far as turnover margin, and they had four today and only forced one from Syracuse, and it was on the final drive. What did you guys think about Clemson today?
I thought that they played exactly how me and you thought that they were going to play last week. I think an 11 a.m. game, we saw that every time there's an 11 a.m. game, there's always a chance for one team to come out a little sluggish. Offenses are usually slow, making sloppy plays in the first half. That's exactly what we saw. DJ didn't really look that good. I think it's hard to say that they go to Klubnik just because DJ's got them so far this year, but maybe that they give him a chance. I mean, it's one of those things that they can't really work out their playoff chances. Like, they're not going to win the playoffs if they can't figure out who their quarterback's going to be at this point in the year.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought their offense – I mean, they were moving the ball pretty well. I mean, they would get down the red zone, but you can't have red zone mistakes. I mean, especially turnovers that lead to points right off the bat. And then I think they stick with DJ moving forward. Even Klubnik said after the game that this is DJ's team. I think that it is his team for this season. I think they're going to have to find ways to win with him still. I mean, their defense has still been a little shaky. Especially nowadays, this is an offense game. Defense still wins championships, but offense, you need a quarterback. And Clemson, I think they're still a playoff team, but I don't know if they'll be able to win it all.
Yeah, I think it's a little too late in the year for a QB switch. I think everybody can agree on that. A quarterback controversy at any level is not good for a team. And I think Klubnik knows that, and I think Dabo knows that, and I think that's part of why they're reassuring DJ that this is his team. And I think that's the smart move. You know, Cade's really young, true freshman. DJ's been there. He knows the system. They're blocking for DJ. The offensive line gets up to play for DJ. DJ can get his team up to play, and he's led him to an 8-0 record so far this year. And he's looked good outside of this game and maybe, like, Georgia Tech. He's looked good. Will Shipley had a great game as well. He continues to be one of the best running backs in college football. Syracuse just didn't do enough to pull off an upset win. I think that's what this game boiled down to. If you want to beat a powerhouse team like Clemson, you got to play a lot better. And one thing that I've noticed from Syracuse is that they're not getting their guys the ball enough. They're not getting Sean Tucker the ball enough. Sean Tucker only having 5 carries in a game, especially in a game against Clemson that they led for the most part too, is absolutely wild. What did you guys think about the running attack from Syracuse with 21 carries from Garrett Schrader on a lot of QB power and then just 5 carries from Sean Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, Sean Tucker definitely should have had more carries. I mean, he was getting involved in the passing game, which is good, but you got to give him the ball. He's one of your best playmakers, especially. I mean, Garrett Schrader is good with his legs, but you can't have him running it for 21 carries.
Yeah, they definitely should have gotten more involved, but I do see the game plan because Clemson probably went out there knowing that they were going to run the ball a lot on him, and if that's all they did, they only gave it off to Tucker, and they focused on the ground game, they probably wouldn't have gotten where they gotten. Even with all the turnovers, Clemson's defense seemed to be a little bit more locked down on the run game, and the pass game is where most of those yards got let up, and quarterback run plays, obviously, with the 21 carries, so.
Yeah, Sean Tucker actually averaged 10 yards per carry, 5 carries for 54 yards. Did get involved a little bit in the passing game, but, you know, there wasn't really too much of a passing game in general. Garrett Schrader only threw 26 passes and completed 18 of them for just 167 yards. It just felt like Syracuse got the lead, and we've seen this a few times in games that could be upset games and then don't end up resulting in the upset. It felt like Syracuse kind of got the lead and then just went into playing not to lose instead of trying to pull off their upset. And that's what Clemson capitalized on. You see Will Shipley had a big run to take the lead. Cade Klubnik made an insane play on a 2-point conversion. And yeah, I mean, that all just leads to Clemson hanging on. They made it through the gauntlet. Yeah.
I think one more thing on this game is that Syracuse really took advantage of the short field off those turnovers. Yeah. And that's probably shows what their offense is. I mean, the defense played really good. They gave up so many penalties late.
Yeah, the penalties, some
really killed them.
Some think, you know, could be a little bit questionable.
Yeah.
On a couple of the roughing the passers and then a missed one on Clemson that was really game changing. But we're not here to blame refs. I don't really think that you can blame the refs on this one. The refs could have changed the game a little bit, but Syracuse, in my opinion, just didn't really play good enough to where I can say that they deserve to win this game. Mm-hmm. But I will say that this Syracuse team, you know, is a good team. This is probably one of the better teams in Syracuse's team history. And looking at their schedule ahead, they got Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Florida State, Wake Forest, and BC. They could realistically finish the year 10-2 or 9-3. As for Clemson now, Clemson made it through their gauntlet. They round out the year with a bye week this week, and then Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, and South Carolina. And, I mean, really, for God forbid, a South Carolina crazy upset, which that game's looking a little bit better now, but
don't sleep other than Notre Dame, the Notre Dame trap game.
Is it? I mean, it's in South Bend. I think that it could be a trap game. But I don't know. That's just tough. As for Clemson, though, could we go ahead and lock in their spot in the ACC championship and maybe even in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
They got to win out, though, if they're going to go to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I just don't see any way that they don't win out. Unless
whoever they play in the ACC championship might give them a game, but I still think they'll...
I think UNC has a good chance to give them a run for their money.
I think so too, just because of that offense. But the thing is about UNC is going to have to play the game of their lives on defense that game.
Yeah, their defense is kind of where their weak side is.
It's really bad.
It's good. I feel like it's going to be a shootout game though.
Yeah. It's crazy that it's week 9 in the ACC and we already basically know like what the ACC championship is going to be. Moving on, back to the SEC though, we had a big one, LSU and Ole Miss. Really close game for the first half, and then LSU just ran away with it. I mean, Ole Miss just looked terrible there in the second half. What is the ceiling for LSU? As they just keep, it feels like they keep climbing back into the top 25 and then falling right out the next week. What do you guys see as their ceiling this year?
I think LSU's ceiling is probably the Sugar Bowl.
I agree.
I think if they lose to Bama, which there's a good chance of that happening, that they could still finish the year and win out, but I think that they could still be in the Sugar Bowl. If also, that's probably Ole Miss's ceiling too, but I think that that's probably the farthest they'll go this year.
I think their ceiling is probably 9-3, 8-4, which is still, I'd say, a significantly better year than they probably would have had under Coach O this year.
I agree. Better year than I thought they were going to have this year.
Yeah, especially after the first game. Everybody thought was freaking out. I mean, thought they were going to be probably a 6-win, 7-win team. No, just Brian Kelly's coaching them great.
Yeah.
And they're just winning football games down there.
Yeah, this is definitely an LSU team that doesn't have the level of talent that, you know, LSU teams recently have been, like, used to, especially on the defensive end. They got a bye week this week, and then Alabama at Arkansas, UAB, and at Texas A&M. It's not crazy at all to say that they'll go 3-1 in those four games and be 9-3 and, yeah, have that Sugar Bowl spot locked up. As for Ole Miss, though, it feels like this was kind of coming for them, right, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, they had been struggling, got some big-time struggle wins. Vegas even had LSU winning this one. Yeah, it just felt like this was kind of coming. What do you guys think that Ole Miss needs to do in the future?
I think Ole Miss has just got to settle back down again and try to just keep winning out those tough games. They obviously have a really good ground game that got them as far as they are, but we haven't really seen them get tested with the real opponent till LSU. Their schedule hasn't been too bad besides Kentucky. And then, you know, that was another struggle win. So, I mean, I think that they're a good team, but they definitely just have to keep their head down. That's one loss. They still are in a contention for the SEC championship with one win or with one loss, but I don't think that that's their ceiling. I think that they're probably – I think that's Bama's ceiling right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think there might be some losses down the road for them. Their schedule definitely is top heavy towards the end. It was very easy flowing until they reached LSU, and then they got Texas A&M. I mean, that's still, no matter Texas A&M, even in Kyle Field, it's still not
that
an easy
environment
game.
That was a trap game for us last year.
Yeah, and they still got Alabama, and they still got Arkansas, Mississippi State. No easy games left on that schedule for them. And I mean, I think they can still go 8-4, 9-3. That's still a good year under Lane Kiffin. get them back to an, either an Outback Bowl or something. I mean, Ole Miss, I mean, just see the development of Jackson Dart. I thought he played good. I thought he played good against LSU. He was starting to pass the ball more. I thought he looked good passing the ball. Just great red zone turnovers, and then defense just could not get off the field at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, 34 passing attempts for Jackson Dart. And it felt like, you know, I think we touched on last episode, we said, you know, a team is going to have to make Jackson Dart sit in the pocket and throw the ball. And throw the ball. And that's kind of what LSU did, it felt like. Quinshon Judkins still got 25 carries, and he still had a good game. You know, one of the best backs in the country. But LSU is such a weird team. This is such an inconsistent LSU team. But one thing that they are consistent in really is playing good in the fourth quarter. This team shows up to play in the second half, in the fourth quarter every night.
They're not a first half team.
Yeah, not at all.
LSU's pass rush is also insane. Harold Perkins and B.J. Ajuaro are definitely big time for them.
Yeah. Yep. Well, moving on to the Big 12, we had a huge game in TCU and K-State. K-State was absolutely demolishing them. Adrian Martinez goes down. Things get a little shaky. TCU comes back, and TCU wins by 10 after scoring, I think, 28 unanswered, right? Oklahoma State, TCU, it's kind of starting to lean towards looking like that's the Big 12 championship after Oklahoma State got a really nice win against Texas and a great game, too. Are you guys thinking – would you guys put your money on right now that it's going to be an Oklahoma State-TCU Big 12 championship?
I think at this point of the year that with Texas going down to three losses now and Oklahoma State being at just one, right? They're not two, they're at one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one loss and TCU's at still undefeated.
Yep.
I think at this point in the year you could probably call it. Although anything can happen, I think maybe TCU drops a game. Even if Oklahoma State drops another game, they're still probably going to be in it over Oklahoma or Texas.
Yeah, I think this week's game is big for Oklahoma State. I mean, Kansas State still only has one loss in that Big 12. And if they beat Oklahoma State, it'll still be getting a little tight. TCU gets to their man. But TCU, I mean, their opponent's quarterback just keeps going down. I mean, it's happened to the second straight week in a row.
Yeah.
They keep being in these games where it seems like it's over in the fourth quarter or late in the second half, and then like you flip to another game and you check the scoreboard after, and it's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about gauntlets with Clemson, just teams having rough stretches of game. TCU just made it out of theirs 4-0. Oklahoma at Kansas, Oklahoma State and K-State. That's a pretty impressive four-game stretch to go 4-0 in, no matter who you are. They finished the season now with West Virginia, which could be a trap game. You know, at West Virginia, that's not an easy one.
Especially at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, those 11 a.m.
It's a far way to travel, too, even though it's a conference opponent. Texas Tech at Texas, which I think is going to be a huge game, at Baylor, and then Iowa State. As for Oklahoma State, they got Kansas State this week. I think that is, I mean, just one of the biggest games of the year for the Big 12. That's going to be a really good one. It's going to be one that you're going to want to have on your TV.
Yep. I see Vegas has already set the line for the TCU-Texas game, too.
Really? What is it?
Texas by seven.
It's at Texas, right?
It's in Austin.
Yeah, it's in Austin. I mean, I could see it. Like, if you were to tell me to pick right now, I don't know.
Texas coming off a loss at home, they're going to come out with that.
It's in a couple of weeks, but it'll be.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. As for sticking with Vegas here for a second, Kansas State is favored to beat Oklahoma State this week. And, you know, we'll dive into that game a little bit later in our pick'em, but I think that I might have to agree with them there.
Yep.
Yeah, moving on to last week's college game day game, Bo Nix and Oregon hosted UCLA and gave them their first loss of the year. And it's kind of starting a narrative that, you know, I don't think anybody in the world would have predicted would have happened this year, let alone would have happened after watching Oregon play on week one against Georgia. But the Bo Nix Heisman agenda is really starting to come up. Like, it is really legitimate. He's probably, you know, up there, definitely top 10 right now, maybe even further closer to top seven or so.
He's definitely a dark horse for the Heisman.
Yeah, dark horse Heisman part two. This is the real one, though, for Bo Nix. He's got 1,800 yards this year with 17 touchdowns, three picks, along with about 400 rushing yards and 8 rushing TDs as well. Oregon looked really good against UCLA. And, you know, maybe it is just Georgia. Maybe he just, when he sees that black and red, he just shuts down. That's got to be what it is. When he sees the SEC. Yeah, it's the SEC scaries. I don't know, but would you guys say that the Bo Nix Heisman agenda is, like, actually legitimate?
I think if Oregon keeps scoring a lot of points, I think Oregon is, if they find themselves in Pasadena and win, and Bo Nix keeps playing like he's playing, he's definitely going to be in the conversation for it. Obviously, there's a lot of season left for, like, usually at this point of the year is where we didn't even know Bryce was going to be Heisman at this point of the year last year. There's still a lot of questions about him. And then usually there's one game that someone has that's like, that's their Heisman game. That was Georgia against Alabama last year for Bryce Young. That was like, that was the game that sealed it for him. I was like, Bo Nix needs a, that was a game, and it's going to come later in the year for him. Same with anyone who's in the talks right now. It's all going to come down later in the year. But I think he's on pace to be close to having that game at the end of the year. It's just going to be Pac-12 championship, you know, type of game.
Yeah, one to circle is in a few weeks, Oregon hosts Utah. That is your game. That's your game. That's your Heisman game. And as for Oregon, they play at Cal, at Colorado, and Washington going into that Utah game. So it's not crazy to say at all that Oregon's going to be 9-1 and probably up there where they are now at number 8, maybe even like number 7 or number 6 if some teams lose from that stretch. Yeah. We're looking at an Oregon team that could maybe, with some help from some of these unexpected undefeats like TCU to go down, could have a chance, a little chance, to make the playoffs and have some playoff hope. I think what kills them is the Georgia game, obviously. They should have at least played it closer than what they did.
Yeah, the only not even scoring a touchdown that game.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
I mean, my thoughts on that UCLA game, I mean, the conditions played in the Oregon's favor to begin with. It was rainy in Osmond Stadium, and UCLA, I think UCLA still has everything right in front of them. They can still win out, and we could see a part two of Oregon, UCLA, and Vegas for the Pac-12 championship. Yeah. They still got, I mean, an important date for UCLA is November 19th. It's when USC plays them at UCLA. So that'll be a big game for them.
And a rivalry game. It's going to be another one of those.
That's a huge game. That's a big week for Pac-12. I want to say that's the same week that Oregon and Utah play. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get Oregon and Utah and UCLA, USC in the same week.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Those are your four teams that are going to end up in the
winner of those games will probably be playing each other.
Yep. UCLA hosts USC. And this is kind of a USC team that, like, I feel like people have just kind of shut up about it. Like, nobody's really talking about USC anymore after that one-point loss to Utah. It was kind of like an Ole Miss situation for them, too. Like, it felt like they had their loss coming. But this is a USC team that is in the same boat as Oregon and UCLA. You know, if they get a little bit of help from some of these unexpected undefeats to go down, like TCU and maybe like Alabama to pick up their second loss at some point this year, this is a USC team or a UCLA team or an Oregon team that could play their way in. Maybe not control their own destiny, but play their way in to a playoff spot if chaos happens, which it's college football. You know, that's not crazy to say that chaos will happen.
Yeah.
Moving into player of the week, I'll go ahead and start us this week. This week is a different one. I've got the running back from Liberty, Day-Day Hunter. He had 23 carries, 213 yards, a touchdown, 4 catches for 31 receiving yards as well. Liberty beats BYU 41-14. Liberty is now 7-1 on the year, and their only loss is to Wake Forest by 1. This is a Liberty team that plays Arkansas, too, at some point this year. I don't know. This is a Liberty team that could be making a New Year's Six Bowl. They could be that team. They could be that non-Power 5 team that makes makes the New Year's Six Bowl. Yeah, and this even more surprising for them is this is the year coming off of losing Malik Willis. So, you know.
Their quarterback is Charlie Brewer.
Yeah.
Former Baylor
QB. It's pretty cool.
My player of the week, I got to go with Jaden Daniels. He didn't maybe have the most passing yards, but the 5 total touchdowns really helped LSU seal that victory over Ole Miss. Obviously, we talk about LSU's defense looking really good in the second half, but I mean, you're scoring 5 total touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's going to help. You're going to win if your quarterback's throwing 5 balls in the end zone or putting 5 balls in the end zone.
Yeah, my player of the week, we're going back to Oregon. We're going Bo Nix, of course. 22-28, 283 yards and 5 passing touchdowns. I mean, very efficient. He's having fun. I mean, I think if he does keep playing good, he could still be a dark horse to end up in New York.
I have to agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to this next segment, we've got contenders and pretenders. So I'm going to name a team, and we're just going to discuss, are they a contender or are they a pretender for having real chances at competing for a national championship? Starting off with old Rocky Top, we got Tennessee. I'm going to go with contender on this one. Any team that has that level of offense, like 2019 LSU-esque offense, is a contender. We saw it with that 2019 LSU team. They say defense can win you championships, but having a great offense can too, especially when they're that caliber. What do you guys think about Tennessee?
I think Tennessee's definitely a contender. They, even, you know, if they go down to Georgia, they're still a one-loss team and might sneak in if a couple Big Ten teams lose games. But at this point, undefeated in the year, they still got to play Georgia on the road. But I'm high on Tennessee. I think any team that beats Alabama is good enough to at least make it to the playoffs, and Tennessee's got one of the harder schedules out of anyone in the SEC, so they, you know, they've proven themselves to be a contender for that playoff spot. Maybe, I don't know yet, national championship, but I mean, if you're in the playoffs, you're contending for that, so.
Yeah,
I think Tennessee is a contender, but their schedule remaining is not the easiest for them. They still got some Kentucky and Kentucky, Georgia, and they still have South Carolina at South Carolina to finish the year. I mean, that's not an easy test for them, and if they can get through that, I mean, I think they are going to be up there definitely easily for to be at the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, that game at South Carolina is looking more and more like a trap game as time goes on. South Carolina's defense is pretty for real, and you know, they're just, South Carolina's just winning games. Moving on to our next team, though, this one might be controversial. It's Michigan. And now I have Michigan. As of right now, I'm not saying that this can't change later in the year, but as of right now, I am on the fence, but I'm going to lean pretender for Michigan. I just feel like they're just not, their passing game just isn't strong enough. Their defense has been shaky in some games. Their run game is really strong, but we're looking at the same situation as Ole Miss. I feel like they haven't played a team that's forced them to sit in the pocket and throw the ball downfield to win a game. And I don't see them getting over that Ohio State bump. That's kind of one of the biggest reasons why I have them as a pretender. Braden, what do you think?
I have them as a contender, but because they have to play that game in Ohio State, in the Horseshoe, it's going to be a tough game. That's, again, it's a rivalry game. The fact that that's coming out in a rivalry game is why I have it as a contender. Obviously, Michigan, Ohio State, probably top 3 biggest rivalry in college football.
Easily.
It's, you know, both very good programs. I think that just the heat of the rivalries brought out even more the last couple years, since Michigan is, with Harbaugh, has looked so much better than they have, you know, before he was there. And Ohio State being as good as they are. It's a rivalry game, so that's why I have him as a contender, because there's going to be a lot more, like, rivalry games mean more than just the championship. So that's,
yeah, I mean, I'm winning a bit more contender so far. I mean, currently I think they are a contender team, but they got a, I mean, their road schedule has not been the hardest. I mean, their schedule in general,
their schedule in general is probably one of the easier of any top 10 team in the country.
I mean, they just keep winning. Their defense is really good. I mean,
Penn State's no cheap shot, though.
No.
But they, I mean, I agree. I mean, J.J. McCarthy is going to have to start showing it with his arm some games to give me more confidence to be able to say they are for sure a contender.
Yeah, and like J.J. McCarthy, they dominated the Penn State game, but that's not saying that J.J. McCarthy had a good game. He went 17 for 24 with 140 yards and an interception. So, you know, they just haven't – I just think when they play a high-powered offense that's just a little too good for their defense, I don't know if they're – I don't know if I trust their offense to match that, you know.
Yeah.
And also one thing that Michigan's got to look out for, they can't overlook some of these games they have before Ohio State. This, like Braden said, this weekend, Michigan State. I know that Michigan State is not a great team at all this year, but this is a big rivalry game. This is prime time. This is a 6:30 rivalry game. We got Michigan State could easily go in there and at least beat the cover the spread. The spread is ridiculous. 22.5 against a rival, I feel like, is high for any rivalry game. You know that Michigan State's going to come in playing their A game. You know they're going to come in motivated. And then another big game for Michigan down the stretch, the week before the game against Ohio State, they play Illinois. And this is an Illinois team that's climbing really the ranks. Good, they're 17 now. So Michigan doesn't have the easiest schedule ahead, and they shouldn't, because the schedule they've had to get to this point has been very easy outside of Penn State and maybe Maryland, and they struggled really big time in that Maryland game. But moving on to our next team, we have our very own University of Alabama Crimson Tide. I have them as a contender. There are some things that they need that have to be fixed if they want to have a chance to compete for a national championship. But as of right now, I would say that Alabama is a contender. It helps them a lot that they're in the SEC West this year. I can't believe I'm saying that, you know, but it helps them that they're in the SEC West and don't have to play Georgia in the regular season. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely have them as a contender, especially since their loss was to an SEC East team. They're definitely going to be at the advantage to go through. If they win out in the SEC championship, then they'll be in the playoffs probably as number one, unless Ohio State goes undefeated. But obviously, like you said, you know, they got to work on the penalties. They've got two really tough games ahead of them on the road. One's that against an LSU team that's been looking really good.
At night.
Yeah, at night. Yeah, that stadium is definitely, you know, a lot of anything can happen in Death Valley. And then same with Ole Miss. Ole Miss on the road's another tough one. I think the bye week's going to help a lot, and they're going to get those kinks kind of sorted out. And I think that Tennessee's a lot better than people gave them credit for when we went there on the road. So hopefully that's, you know, not the case with LSU or Ole Miss. But, I mean, at this point in the year, they're still a contender. They're still one loss, and they have the talent. It's just whether or not they make the mistakes or they don't make
mistakes. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that if Alabama beats LSU and Ole Miss, they clinch, right? Yeah, they clinch the SEC West. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alabama is a contender. Any team with Bryce Young, you're a contender. I mean, he's probably the most valuable player to a team in college football right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think this bye week was probably the perfect bye week you could have after eight tough games. I mean, especially you could tell with all the injuries on the D-line, especially Justin Aboigbe being out for the season.
Yeah, that's bad, terrible.
Terrible injury. Hopefully he has a speedy recovery. And, I mean, defense, I mean, especially Elias Ricks emerging in that secondary. I mean, tough weeks coming up, especially against some high-powered offenses. But I think Alabama's just going to keep going through and end up in Atlanta.
All right, next up we got Clemson. I have Clemson as a contender right now, and that can partially be thanks to their easier rest of season schedule and their defense. Their defense is so elite. Anytime you have a defense that good, I feel like you can compete for a national championship. Braden, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have them as a contender. They pretty much have gotten through the toughest part of their schedule. Like if the Notre Dame game could be a trap game, obviously playing there is definitely, you know.
South Carolina maybe.
South Carolina maybe. Could be too. I think Clemson's at this point in the year looks like that they've gotten through that tough part of the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to win out. I think that that's the biggest one for the non-SEC teams right now is that they have to win out.
Yeah, any team from the ACC has to be undefeated to make the playoffs. And I feel like that's
and Pac-12, know, kind of rightfully and so. Big
Same
Ten.
With Pac-12, it feels like a lot of times.
I'm a surprise. I'm going to go pretender. I mean, that's the big thing is quarterback. If they didn't not have consistent quarterback play, that's just my big thing right there.
Yeah. I can see that. I do. I'm just saying contender out of faith for DJ to bounce back.
I still think they can. I think they'll smooth sail the rest of the year. I think they'll be undefeated in the playoff, but
I don't know if they're good enough to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. As of right now, I wouldn't say that Clemson will compete to win a national championship, but I would put my money on them having that number four or number three spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Next team, this is a fun one. We got TCU. TCU is undefeated in the Big 12, and they have had a, you know, we touched on it earlier, they've had a nice little four stretch of wins against some, you know, quality opponents. But still, that being said, I have TCU as a pretender. They have gotten a little bit fortunate with some starting QBs going down. Kansas State is another one.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah, twice. And, you know, you could really make the argument that if Martinez doesn't go down, K-State wins that game pretty easily, too. So I don't know if I necessarily trust TCU yet. Hey, they keep winning, though, so they can just keep proving me wrong. But I really have that Texas game highlighted. I just don't see them coming out with a win in that Texas game, and I think that'll throw them off.
Yeah, I'm exactly right. That Texas game, Texas is going to want to win that game so bad, especially if TCU is coming into the season at that point still undefeated. Just playing in a Daryl K. Royal is another tough environment. Most teams struggle there, and I've been low on TC. I've been like, they're gonna do it. They're gonna lose at some point. They do keep proving me wrong though. They've had like the last 2 weeks games that they've really, you know, pulled back from big deficits late in the game, so I feel like at some point they're just not going to be able to do that. It's going to slip up, but maybe they just keep proving me wrong. But at this point, I think they're just competing for the Big 12 championship. But who knows? TCU's a big question mark right now.
I'm gonna say pretender right now. I think Oklahoma State's probably the best team, even when TCU beat them. I think they're going to eventually lose to either Texas. I mean, I think Baylor could even beat them. And I think, I mean, the Big 12 championship, that might be their peak. I mean, 10-2, 11-1. I mean, that's still a great year under the first year head coach, Sonny Dykes. But I think things have gone their way in some of the games, but I just don't see it continuing over a 12-game stretch.
All right, lastly on this list, I have Oregon. I'm going to confidently say pretender on this one. I do think that Oregon is a much improved team, but I still think you put them against a powerhouse and they've collapsed, just like we saw week one against Georgia. Maybe not to the 49-3 extent, but I think that some of these top-tier teams beat them by two touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in that same spot. I think that as a non SEC team, with how good, you know, with Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee, and even Ole Miss, don't count Ole Miss out still at one loss. Like, you have four teams at one loss at this point in the year, four teams with one loss or less at this point in the year. I think that you have to be undefeated if you're going to be in the playoffs. You're not in the SEC.
I'm gonna say contender. I think Oregon's a contender, but they're gonna need chaos to happen in order.
Yeah,
they don't control their own destiny.
Yeah, they.
Okay, moving into our next segment, we have our underdog of the week. I might have a little bit of bias for this one since I'll be in attendance, but I do like Auburn plus 3.5 over Arkansas. This is the type of game that I could see Auburn going out and surprising some people, picking up a win they're not supposed to. Arkansas's defense has been really shaky. They have probably one of the worst secondaries in the SEC. And, you know, at times they have let teams run the ball all over them, including Alabama. Auburn has one of the best running games of any team in the country, really, with Ashford, Jarquez Hunter, and Tank Bigsby. I like Auburn in this one.
I've got a weird one. I'm going Cal against Oregon. I know we've talked a lot of – I think Cal's at least going to – at plus 17, I think their defense and even their offense, they showed some improvement against Washington. They got another game at home. I think that if they don't come out the win, that the spread at least will be – they'll at least be able to stop Oregon from covering the spread.
Yeah, my dog of the week is Nebraska at home against Illinois.
Illinois finally goes down.
I think Illinois finally goes down.
Yeah.
But Nebraska's underdog by 7.5 points. I think they keep it close at least.
All right, going into our pick 'em. You know, much better week in week 2 than we had in week 1. looking at the leaderboards, you got me and Nick at 8-6, Braden at 7-7. Sorry I had to leave you behind, Braden, from the 2-5 gang. Very unfortunate.
I left you behind from it too.
Yeah.
We could say it both ways.
Well, we got a good slate of games ahead of us here. We'll go ahead and get right in. Starting at 11 a.m., we've got the number 2 ranked Ohio State playing at Penn State. Ohio State by 15.5 is the line for this one. Is it a wideout game? Do you guys know?
Last week was
a wideout. I know that, but
it's 12 o'clock.
Yeah, game, I just don't see a wideout.
Yeah, they don't. They only do one wideout.
They do.
Yeah,
is that okay?
It could be a white and blue.
Checker. Yeah. But I do like Ohio State in this one. I think Penn State kind of got exposed against Michigan. They had a good bounce back win against Minnesota, but that's been a shaky Minnesota team too. I do like Ohio State this one, and I would probably even say that they cover the spread of 15.5 as well. I think CJ Stroud has a good game.
Yeah, I definitely think Ohio State's going to win. I think that they won't cover the spread though. Beaver Stadium is the, you know, number one hardest environment probably to play in all of college football. And I think that I'm a strong believer in that crowd can affect play more than, you know, anything besides, you know, obviously what happens on the field. But I think that Ohio State's going to run up a couple penalties that could, you know, make the game a lot closer than it really needs to be. But I think they still come out with the win.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ohio State, but the game being early, I think they could be a little shaky to open up the game in the first half at least. But I think they'll pull away late. CJ Stroud will have another big game, and the receiver core will have another big game too. I mean, Trevion Henderson, I mean, they're just stacked all over the board in offense. I mean, it's pretty hard to stop if you're a defense.
Yeah.
Yep, next game we've got the Cocktail Bowl, 2:30. Florida versus the number 1 Georgia team in Jacksonville. The line for this one's Georgia by 22.5. I think that is pretty high. You know, I talked about earlier about how, you know, some of these lines are getting a little high for them to be rivalry games, and I think that Florida covers in this one. I think Anthony Richardson, has a good game. I do like Georgia winning though, but I think that it's going to be closer than some people think. I think Georgia has another one of those hiccup games, you know, like Missouri or Kent State, where they don't play really as good as they should be playing. I do like Georgia, though, maybe by a couple of touchdowns.
I was going to do this for underdog of the week, but I didn't want to have it be my underdog of the week and my pick'em. But I'm going to go with Florida. Like you said, I think this could be a hiccup game. Georgia has looked beatable all year,
except for
maybe, you know, the South Carolina and Oregon game. I mean, Georgia is a beatable team, and I think Florida, they're in the point of the year where they really need to beat a team like Georgia if they're going to, you know, want any sort of good bowl. And I think that Florida could definitely come out with it.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a look-ahead spot for Georgia. I mean, they're definitely looking ahead next week to Tennessee coming to town. But I think they'll win by 14, 17 points. I think they'll struggle, especially with their injuries. They're a pretty injury-plagued team as well.
Yeah.
And I think for Florida to win, Anthony Richardson just has to have the game of his life.
Yeah, he does. He has to have another, like, Utah – well, even better than the Utah game probably.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm not counting that out. Like, he definitely has that potential in him.
Yeah, I mean, you be number 7 at the time, Utah team.
Yeah. Yep. Moving into our next game, we got some Big 12 action. One of the biggest games of the year in the Big 12, actually. 2:30 kick. It's Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Kansas State is favored in this one, and I am rocking with the Wildcats. The Wildcats have had a couple of games this year where they lose that lead late, and I like them today. I like them holding on to that lead today again, or this Saturday against Oklahoma State, and I like them winning this one. This is a huge game in the Big 12. But in Kansas State, Oklahoma State's had too many close games. I'm rocking with K-State in this one.
Yeah, as many close games as Oklahoma State's had, I think that they still do come out with it. I really think that Texas with Quinn Ewers is a very respectable win, especially when there was a point in that game in the fourth quarter where I thought it was over. But, you know, Oklahoma State is another team that has found themselves – in a couple of games lately, Texas and TCU, where it's just they come back. And same with Kansas State. They've blown a couple. They've blown those. But Oklahoma State has won those. So it's going to be who's going to come out in the fourth quarter, I feel like. And I think that Oklahoma State is a better fourth quarter team than Kansas State.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to last week. I mean, Kansas State let me down, but I think I'm going to go back to them. Kansas State's going to win this game. And Adrian Martinez, if he's playing this game, I think they'll win. They have that crowd behind them. And, I mean, he's been good. I mean, they were looking good against TCU, and then injuries happen in sports. And I think they'll win that game.
All right, next game, we got some non-Power 5 action here. 20th-ranked Cincinnati at UCF. These are two pretty storied programs, especially over the last decade or so. I do like Cincinnati in this one. I think Cincinnati has been a really sound team all throughout the year this year. They're getting better as the year goes on, ever since that loss to Arkansas. They've got a great run game, and they've got a pretty solid defense too. I think Cincinnati goes to Central Florida and comes out with a win in this one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I think Cincinnati has lost a lot of credit with that one loss to Arkansas. But Cincinnati is still a very good team. They were in the playoffs last year, obviously. They have, you know, a good amount of guys returning from that team. They're going to go in the bounce house. They're another place that's going to be tough to play in. But they're going to come out with a win, I think.
I think UCF is going to win. I think John Rhys Plumlee, Javon Baker, former Alabama receiver, is going to have a big game. And this is one of those Gus Malzahn games where UCF will just win. Might even win big.
Yeah, funny for UCF, they have John Rhys Plumlee, former Ole Miss QB, throwing to Kobe Hudson, former Auburn receiver, and Javon Baker, former Alabama receiver. But this is a UCF team that's been really shaky. They're coming off a 21-point loss to East Carolina, which is no pushover. But this UCF team has been really inconsistent all throughout the year, and I think it continues Saturday against Cincinnati. Next game, we're moving into the primetime games. We got 6 o'clock. We have number 19 Kentucky at number 3 Tennessee. Tennessee is favored in this one 12.5, and I actually like them to cover as well. I think this is the type of game that Kentucky plays off of their great defense, I feel like, but you know, some offenses are just too good to be stopped, and I think Tennessee's is one of those, and I do not think that Kentucky can keep up with the scoring of Tennessee. I think Tennessee wins this one by a few touchdowns.
Yeah, I think Tennessee is definitely going to be favored to win this game. I have them winning this game. Their offense is just so good. Don't count out Kentucky's offense now that they have the healthy quarterback and all that, but I think just it's going to be what they announced that they're doing the black and orange checkers.
Yeah,
and
the black and
Halloween,
orange jerseys. It's crazy.
The black and orange jerseys. I think that's just going to, like, it's like when teams do things like that, it usually there's more motivation in the crowd. It's just it's all going to go Tennessee's way on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I think Tennessee wins this game, but in order for Kentucky to win this game, Will Levis is going to have to prove why NFL scouts want him in the first round. He's going to have to play a great game.
I don't know if he's proved that this year.
Yeah, he's not proved that this year. I still think Tennessee is going to win. Hendon Hooker is going to have another big game. And I think Cedric Tillman, I think he's coming back this weekend maybe. And that's just another big weapon for their offense. Yep. And I just think Rocky South will still be moving along down to Athens next week undefeated.
Yeah, it's going to be another crazy environment in Neyland this weekend.
Yeah.
Next game. We have 6:30 Michigan State at Michigan. Kind of a little bit of a test for Michigan compared to some of the other teams we've seen on their schedule. Michigan State hasn't been the best all year. Probably one of the biggest disappointments in college football this season, especially with Mel Tucker at coach. You would think that with Mel Tucker at coach, they would have a better secondary than what they have had this year, and they just have not. That being said, though, this isn't a Michigan team that just likes to throw the ball all over the field. This is a Michigan team that likes to run. And if Michigan State can potentially keep J.J. McCarthy in the pocket and make him throw downfield, they're going to be playing in a pretty close game. So I do like Michigan in this one. The line is 22.5. I do not see them covering that at all. I think that Michigan State plays this to a relatively close game. I could see Michigan by 10 or 14 in this one.
Yeah, I definitely Michigan at home. Rivalry game means that it's going to mean a lot more to Michigan State, especially since they're really out of contention for any real hardware this year.
Yeah, this is what they're playing for.
Yeah, they're playing for this game against Michigan. This is Michigan State's biggest rivalry, not Michigan's. So it means a lot more to Michigan State. But I still think that Michigan is going to come out. We've seen some miracles happen in this game before. Obviously, the block punt a couple years ago. And then, you know, so anything can happen because of a rivalry game. I still think that Michigan is going to come out on top.
I think this is a complete domination by Michigan this week. I mean, revenge spot from last year. They lost to them. I think they got that chip on their shoulder. I think Blake Corum's going to have a huge game. Maybe McCarthy will start showing the signs with his arm, but I just think their defense, their offense, I mean, Michigan State's going to have a very hard time keeping up.
Yeah, Michigan's going to look for Blake Corum to do to Michigan State what Kenneth Walker did to them last year. So moving into our last game, we'll make this one pretty quick. 6:30 kick, Ole Miss looking to bounce back on the road in College Station against Texas A&M. A lot of people are thinking, you know, A&M's got this one. Ole Miss is starting to fall apart. A lot of people think they're going to crumble after that just terrible loss to LSU last week. I think Ole Miss bounces back. I think Ole Miss gets the edge on this one, and I say that just because Texas A&M is bad, man. They're not a great football team this year. I do like Ole Miss, and I like them covering the spread of 2 in this one.
Yeah, this is a tough one because Ole Miss and Texas A&M are both in a situation where they have to win this game. A&M has to win this game to prove that, you know, all that talk is not worth it. They're getting all the, you know, them being ranked up. They lost to Appalachian State. They barely lost to Alabama. They've even with Milroe, I mean, they still look like an incomplete team. But Ole Miss on the road, I mean, sorry, Ole Miss playing in Kyle Field, it's good. That's another one of those environments you could say is, you know, just as hard to play in as anywhere. It's gonna. I really like. It could be a 2-3 point game, but I'm going to go with Texas. Texas A&M has a lot more to prove than Ole Miss does, and I feel like that they've come off of such a rough stretch that they're going to have to – they have to win this game.
I mean, I'm going to go with Texas A&M, but Texas A&M has got to win this game just to make a bowl game. I mean, that's – their program is in a complete dumpster fire right now. I mean, suspensions left and right. I mean – everybody's coming for Jimbo's throat right now. I mean, you don't know. I mean, people are questioning his job security. I mean, I think he's – I mean, their offense is not very good. I mean, I think they might – I mean, I think they're going to pull out a game somehow. I mean, low-scoring game. I think they're going to slow down Jackson Dart and Zach Evans and Quinshon Junkins. And I think somehow they're going to win maybe like a 25-22 game. Something low-scoring.
Yeah. That's the thing about this Texas A&M team. They're not going to score a lot of points. So if Texas A&M does win this game, it's going to have to be like a weird 24-17, 24-21 type of game. With that being said, though, that'll bring us to the end of this episode. I'm Caden Johnson.
I'm Braden Friedman.
And I'm Nicholas Elliott.
And this is the 4th and Goal Podcast signing off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.